city. All
right. Now we're talking, and now it's time to start. Well, good evening, everyone. Before we get started, Craig's going to lead us in a prayer.
Let's pray together. Dear God, we're thankful for the day you've given us. We're thankful for your Son, for coming to this earth to live a man that is sinless, and give us the hope to be with you in heaven one day if we follow your word. Be with those who are sick this evening, Father, and recovering. Clayton Weathersby specifically, Rick Garcia specifically, help them fully recover for the your will. Help us to have an open mind and open heart to study your word tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So tonight we are finally going to finish out chapter 2 in Philippians. We're going to, before we cover this last section, let's take a look at kind of what we covered in these last few weeks of what David has been talking to us about. Chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. He describes that as the table of contents of the letter. And as we see from that moment on, Paul is encouraging the Philippians to strive together for the gospel. He focuses a lot on conducting themselves to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul is really stressing that they need to be united. They need to look for the interest of others when they are serving the gospel. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, that's the very beautiful section about being like Jesus. That's the example that we should be following. And so Paul is encouraging the Philippians to be obedient, to sacrifice, to serve, and have a humble spirit in doing so. And then last week, verses 12 through 18, some of the main points that David talked about was that we are continuing to be transformed by Christ by working out our salvation. And one of the other points that he talked about was, again, coming together to serve the gospel, because unity is just a big thing that we've been focusing on these last few weeks. So today, as I said, we are finishing out the rest of chapter 2, starting in verse 19. So I'm going to finish it all the way through to verse 30 in Philippians chapter 2. But I hope in the Lord Jesus, to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learned of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. So Paul mentions two men here, Timothy and Epaphroditus. So the first guy he mentions is Timothy. So let's talk about Timothy for a little bit. What are some of the things that we know about Timothy?
He's like a son. He's like his all son. Real close.
Yeah, he had a close relationship with Paul. Mm-hmm.
His mother and grandmother raised him. His grandmother. Yes.
Right. What else do we know about Timothy? Just from the New Testament.
Paul wrote two letters to him.
Yeah. He has a couple letters named after him.
When you look back on, back in Acts, you see how he was well spoken of in his neighborhood and surrounding towns. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the book of Acts. Flip over there to Acts chapter 16 with me real quick, where Timothy is mentioned when Paul first visited the Philippians. Acts 16, verse 1. Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there, who Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy is with Paul from the start of when he goes to visit the Philippians. So outside of this letter, we are familiar with Timothy. We see him throughout the Old Testament. He's mentioned in other books. He has two books named after him. But what does Paul say about him in this section? Jim just mentioned something, that he was like a son to Timothy. But what else does Paul say about Timothy in this section?
He has no one like him who's generally concerned for Paul's welfare.
Yep.
Not only for Paul's welfare, but for the people there that he's Paul is sending them to. He was very concerned about them also.
Right. What else do we see about Timothy here?
He has proven his worth.
Proven his worth. And all these things that we just mentioned, we're definitely going to expand upon. And I think it's interesting how, just in a few verses, so much is said about Timothy in just a few verses. So first, I think it's interesting to point out that Timothy is involved with Paul's current situation, that Paul was going to send Timothy once Paul found out how it went with him in prison. We see that in verse 23 when Paul says, "Therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me." I think this is going to achieve a few purposes. So first, I think Paul was going to send Timothy so Timothy could send a report back to Paul to give him an update of what's going on. But also, Timothy would also bring spiritual leadership. We're going to look more of how Timothy is like a son to Paul, how he kind of has proven his spiritual worth. As Yolanda or Miss Diane just mentioned in verse 20, it says, "For I have no one else a kindred spirit who would generally be concerned of your welfare." In verse 21, he says, "For they all seek after their interests, not those of Christ Jesus." So Paul has no one else like Timothy, but this is a kind of a bit of a strange verse in 21 when he says, "They all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." Who do you think Paul is talking about right there?
False teachers?
False teachers?
Perhaps. Or they weren't as committed and trustworthy as Timothy.
Hmm.
The character he's talking about, you know, he's got a proven character.
He talked in chapter 1 about those who were preaching the gospel to cause him trouble.
Right.
They weren't concerned about the gospel of Christ. They were concerned about bugging Paul.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, did you have something?
Oh, just along the same line.
Yeah. Well, to go on what Charles was talking about, a few things that I read was that Paul had other people that he worked with. And it's possible that there were some people in the area that he could have sent to Philippi, but they didn't, because those people were more interested in themselves. I think that was the general observation that I read a few times. But just looking at Timothy, how a few of you have said that Timothy has proven himself. In what ways did Timothy prove himself, you think?
Was Timothy a man after his own heart? And that, is that who he was? I can't remember that, but for sure. But is that the one? Excuse me. The man that he said was a man after his own heart.
That was Dave.
Huh?
I think that was Dave. He was a man after God's own heart.
If David but, was? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But Timothy, it did say he proved himself. I mean, Paul sent him to places like Ephesus in order to, because he trusted him. He sent him other places. He followed him to Corinth, and so he was under Paul's wing, so Paul trusted him to do a whole lot of things that he put confidence in. In Acts, it said that he was highly regarded.
Yes, Randy.
think the relationship between Paul and Timothy was really kind of on two levels. One, there was the personal relationship where, obviously, you know, Timothy was kind of missing a father. Paul kind of stepped into that relationship. So there was that father-son sort of relationship that built over time, and so there was a mutual respect from both Timothy and Paul for each other.
Right.
Then there was also the spiritual dynamics that were in play here, because Paul looked at Timothy as a gospel preacher who could spread the gospel in a very worthy manner, in a very dedicated manner, and he had utmost confidence in his ability to get that message across to people. So the relationship is pretty dynamic here between these two men, because there was not only that personal connection, but there was also that spiritual connection that both of them relied on in order to just get through life and through the day. They just balanced each other out.
Yeah. I think that also shows how much trust Paul had in Timothy. Paul, see, the Philippians trusted Paul, and Paul is saying, hey, I trust Timothy. You can trust him too when he comes to you. He isn't a guy that's going to seek after his own interest. Because what we see in verse 20, he says that, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. So Timothy doesn't seek his own interest, but he seeks the interest of others. This was one of the things early on in chapter 2 and verse 4, when Paul instructs him, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Timothy is an example of this. So not only does he give the instruction to do this, he gives an example of who is doing this. And I think he's trying to encourage them to be more like Timothy.
He sent Timothy on to Corinth before, didn't he? I may be wrong twice, but then he said when Paul was up in the Philippi area, didn't he send Timothy down to Corinth ahead of him and the other town? What's another town in there?
Athens?
Say it.
Is it Athens?
Well, no, it was before that. It's the town. I can't think of Houston sometimes.
Berea.
Ephesus wasn't Ephesus. Okay. It was, I don't know.
Well,
he sent him over to Corinth, and then, because Paul was in trouble up there at Philippi. But
yeah. I think it's just fair to say that Timothy is kind of like Paul's right-hand man. That Timothy did a lot of work for Paul when he couldn't get to certain places. So that's what's important to look at Timothy right here. But now let's turn to the second guy mentioned in this section, Epaphroditus. Now, we don't know anything about him besides what's written in this section. So what does this section say about Epaphroditus?
He's a fellow worker, fellow soldier.
Mm-hmm. What else? Now, a quick correction. He's not only mentioned in this section, he's mentioned in one verse, one other verse outside of chapter 2, if anyone wants to find that for me. Do a little scavenger hunt of where else Epaphroditus is mentioned.
418.
418. Let's read that real quick. 418. But I've received everything in full and have abundance. I'm fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma. An acceptable service, well pleasing to God. So, what does this tell us right here? What does this tell us about Epaphroditus?
So Epaphroditus was not only well thought of by the church that he was associated with, because they chose him, gave him money to get to Paul. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty high confidence in his abilities to carry out that mission. But then on the other side of that coin is Paul's, his admiration for Epaphroditus and his ability to preach the gospel and to be a service to Paul while he's in prison.
So what we said right here was that Epaphroditus went to go minister to Paul when he was in need. He gave him a gift. But what happened to Epaphroditus when he went out to go help Paul? When he went to go help Paul in his current situation, what does his section tell us what almost happened to Epaphroditus? He almost died, yeah. He got sick. It doesn't tell us what happened. It doesn't tell us how he got sick. It just says he almost died. What do you think the relationship is between Epaphroditus and the Philippians? Those people, what do you think the relationship is like?
It's a very strong relationship, very committed, I guess, to their fellowship.
Well, he was from there.
Yeah, so Epaphroditus was a Philippian. And what Yolanda was just saying, it was a very strong relationship. Because when we see in verse 26, he was longing for you all and was distressed because he had heard that he was sick. So he heard that they were worried about him. There may be an example like this to where one of our members can get in the hospital, we can be worried about them, but then when they show up to church, that worry kind of melts away. We see that they're okay, we can tell them that we were thinking about them. And I think that's what this relationship was like with the Philippians and Epaphroditus, that he was one of them. And they care very deeply about him. So Bill just mentioned in verse 25, there's a few things that there's almost a list describing Epaphroditus. What are some of those things on that list in verse 25?
Brother,
what do you think that means?
Fellow Christian.
What else is on that list? Let's go through it.
Messenger.
Messenger,
minister.
Messenger, and minister. Why do you think he says that about him?
Messenger, he brought the offering, are they?
Exactly.
Help.
I think it's also very possible that Epaphroditus was the one that delivered the letter from Paul to the Philippians. I think that's just one of the interesting theories out there, what may have happened. It also mentions fellow soldier. What do you think? I think that's interesting. He describes him as a fellow soldier. What do you think that means?
It's tough out there. It's a battle.
Well, who are some of the people that... Because soldier, you think of fighting.
Right.
What do you think who he was fighting against?
Judaizing teachers right now.
I want to direct your attention to verse 29. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. To me, this sounds like a hero's welcome. We will have soldiers that will go across to fight. They come back, and we celebrate them. We honor veterans who have fought. We hold them in high regard. We salute them because they risked their lives fighting for this country. And I kind of, that's what it sounds like to me in this section when Paul is describing Epaphroditus, of how he wants the people to treat him. He says, hold him in high regard. Because I think Paul wants the Philippians to recognize that he did something that they didn't, which is he risked his life for the gospel. He went out, he fought against the Judaizers. It was tough out there. He almost died, but he still completed the mission in ministering to Paul, to bringing back to the Philippians.
It sounds like they sent him as a messenger, and then he did more than that.
Mm.
And so that added to, he once he got there, he had to do stuff that was dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. Because all these other people were kind of trying to get Paul into trouble. And
yeah.
He was with him and helping him.
Well, again, I think Paul wants them to recognize this, that look what your brother in Christ did for all of you. He went out and, again, put his life on the line. He's demonstrating the spirit of Christ, which is be obedient, humble, and have a sacrificing spirit.
Epaphroditus must have shared this with Paul because in verse 26, Paul describes a deeper yearning. He says, He has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He wants the brethren to be okay, that he is okay. We do that with one another.
Absolutely.
We're going to say, I'm fine.
We hear them. It just shows good character, loving character. And you say that, and it makes me think that the Philippians had a strong relationship with Epaphroditus, and Paul has a strong relationship with Timothy. And he's mentioning them both in this letter. And to be honest, it's a little random, because Paul goes from talking about Christ, and he switches to talk about these two guys. And again, I think that's a little random. So let's talk about this. Why do you think this is here in this letter?
Examples of servants serving, putting others first.
Examples of servants.
Well, he was showing continued concern for them. And that's why he was sending his messengers to check on them, because obviously he had great respect for them and love for them. So. This is his way of being able to show that, I think, to those brethren.
For the Philippians.
Yes.
I'm just gonna write the Phils. What else? Why do you think this section is in here?
So David keeps wanting us to remember that this is a letter.
Mm-hmm.
We're reading somebody's letter. Well, if I were writing to someone, I would tell them about myself, which Paul did at the beginning. And I tell them about my family and how they were all doing. That's something my sister always asks, well, how are the kids? What are they doing? So I think he was just telling them, here's what's going on with everybody else that's with me. Like we would do in a letter.
Yeah. Do you think there's a purpose in him doing that, though? Do you think he's trying to show the Philippians something?
What they've already got.
So what are some things that these two have in common? Are there any similarities that you see?
They both care about others. Remember, I said that.
They both have Paul's confidence. He feels like they're reliable. Follow up on what they're asked to do.
Anything else that has in common that you think really sticks out?
In my Bible, those areas are captioned as Timothy's example of humility and then Epaphroditus' example of humility. That's how they're captioned.
Say that again?
Timothy's example of humility and Epaphroditus' example of humility.
Both have examples of humility.
I think Paul counted them trustworthy because they were messengers and cared about him.
So,
seems like they both were probably reaching others and preaching the gospel to them also, because they were fellow workers and soldiers for Christ.
Soldiers for Christ.
I think Timothy is encouraged by them. It's part of how Timothy is being renewed and able to go on because of them.
He wants other people to see their goodness. Along with everything else, they were examples of servants. They were humble, they were trustworthy, they were preaching the gospel, they were soldiers for Christ. After Paul just talked about trying to be like Christ, I think when you look at this from just afar, these guys are examples of Jesus. Paul was just telling them what Jesus is like. And now he is giving examples of guys who were humble, who were obedient, who had a sacrificial spirit. And what you notice, the first two names he mentions after talking about Jesus is Timothy and Epaphroditus. So I believe Paul is showing the Philippians the example that they should be following. And I think Paul is he's encouraging the Philippians to have their spirit of their brothers. He wants the Philippians to be more humble. He wants them to consider others more important than themselves. He wants them to look out for the interest of others. And when we're going to look in chapter 4, we're going to see some conflict that's going on with them. I think Paul is also saying, you know, be like them and get along with each other. Because how are they expected to serve God if they aren't serving the needs of each other? And so to go out and be like Christ, yeah, they need to put themselves aside. They need to put others first. They need to be humble, because that's exactly what Jesus was like. Did you have a comment, Rebecca?
I was just really noticing how he didn't want to send them. If it were up to what he wanted, they would have been with him. And so he's talking about how they're servants and concern for others, but he's showing his concern just as much by doing the exact opposite of what he would prefer.
Mm. So I think Paul is up there with them. Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus share the same qualities of being like Christ. And of course, Paul is humble, so he's not going to say, be like me, because I'm just like Jesus. Well, you know, I don't know if he would exactly be humble in that moment, so that's why he mentions two other guys who share that same spirit. When I look at these three guys, they kind of look like spiritual role models to me. These are guys that we need to look up to. What are some of the qualities we should look for in spiritual role models?
People who are courageous and faithful.
Yeah. We'll write that over here. Courageous. Courageous, the point of Epaphroditus is an example of being courageous. This guy nearly died during serving the gospel, during the work of the gospel.
Paul uses the term a proven worth. Mm. So he has a proven, Timothy has a proven worth. So,
can you expand on that?
Well, he served faithfully.
He served faithfully, yeah. Yeah,
faithfully.
Spiritual role model would demonstrate love to others in the proper way.
In the proper way. What way is that, you think?
With care and empathy and genuine concern.
Genuine concern.
Versus, oh, okay, you're doing okay today. Okay, we're good. You know?
And I think genuine concern is naturally going to bring out that love to others. Of, again, not putting ourselves first, but putting the needs of others first.
Right. And he demonstrated that by ministering to Paul.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he just didn't bring the message. He took care of what he needed.
Yeah.
Paul used the word like a child serving his father.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Timothy has a very good upbringing. And I think that's
oh, right, yeah.
I think a spiritual role model would also speak the truth. You're not wavering. Or speak the truth with strength.
Right, yeah. Anyone else?
What's the word that means you do the right thing all the time? There's a word. Integrity. Yeah, I guess. A good role model will do the right thing every time.
The right thing every time.
Or almost every time. Not perfection.
Try to.
Or the word stability.
Well, I think talking about spiritual role models, this is something that Paul encourages Timothy to do. That famous verse in 1 Timothy 4:12 of, you know, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers. And so being a spiritual role model is, you know, that's who Timothy is. So it's interesting to see two other guys that are also a role model to the Philippians here. So what can we learn from these three guys, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus? What can we personally learn from them?
They love the Lord.
They love the Lord? Absolutely.
Goal was to preach and help, strengthen the others.
They're committed to the work. All three of them.
Service of Christ, first and foremost.
I think to tie all the three of your answers together, I think when you're looking at it, that Christ is at their center. Christ is their driving force. Christ is why they're doing what they're doing. So, because when we look at their characters, they're not prideful or selfish, which is Paul. That's what Paul talks a lot about in chapter 2, is having a humble spirit. Because they have a humble and a very sacrificial spirit. And when you look at all three of them, they're united. They have one mind, which is to do the work of the gospel. And when we have this attitude of not being selfish, not being prideful, well, our selfishness and pride won't be in the way of serving God and serving others and having all of these other qualities that we look for in spiritual role models.
Because they didn't quit when things got tough. It'd be very easy to say, oh man, they're after me now, I better quit.
Yeah.
And then, no, they didn't care. God, they're going to be with Jesus one way or the other.
Yeah, Rachel.
I think because Paul mentions them, and he mentions them, I mean, I guess especially Timothy often, that friendship is really important.
Friendship.
That, you know, God puts us in each other's lives to strengthen each other, and the road is less hard when we have one another, when we're strong and we have all these qualities. We still need each other, and it's easier to do it together.
Yeah.
Which brings up the point of needing to know each other.
Yes. Yes.
And again, I think Rachel would go on that. You know, this letter is written to a group of people. And we see that Epaphroditus was very special to them. He was personal to them. And so having that personal bond, that personal relationship, really goes a long ways. And when you're dealing in times of trouble or hard times, knowing that other people care about you and willing to help you, like that's, like, we can't do this alone, not to be cliche or sound cheesy, but I mean, it's true. And but Paul, for example, you know, he had help when he was in prison, other guys that helped him out in there.
Yeah. I was also going to say, And this one is, I guess, more subjective, but, you know, Paul being in prison in Rome at this time, and these two guys, Timothy and Epaphroditus, being there, that dynamic of just these men together, Paul can't go anywhere, so they came to him.
Yeah.
Paul's a bulldozer, okay? Just when you think about it, he just bulldozes ahead, but he stopped dead in his tracks. They've got him in prison. So these two guys, Timothy and Epaphroditus, come to him, and they become his right-hand men, if you will, to do the work that he can't do, and so he's relying on them to make that. So there's that, certainly that spiritual level we've discussed, but I think there's also a personal commitment level here where Paul is putting a lot of trust into both of these guys, and both of these guys are looking at Paul as just this mentor to him. That they're going to go do the work that he's being restricted to do. I think there's a dynamic here that goes much, much deeper, and it's just really interesting when you start putting all the pieces together of how they're interacting with one another.
Yeah.
You can kind of see how one is relying on the other, and how together, working together, they're able to push forward the gospel of Christ, even in this difficult situation that Paul is in.
So how do you think we can be more like that?
That's hard.
Yeah.
It does take a lot of trust that you have with another person. And, and like Charles said a moment ago, spending time with each other. These guys were spending day and night with each other. Think about it. They're spending all their time together. They're
right.
And I don't think it's as easy for us to do that in our environment today that they had there, but certainly we can strive for that. And I think we should be striving for that.
When I think about that, sometimes I don't realize how much selfish I can be at times when I look at three of these guys, because I recognize that at points I can be too self-focused, which obviously being in this position, I've been learning I need to be less of that, because that's the example that these guys are setting, because that can take away from serving others. Because as we've been talking about, you know, being like Christ, being more Christ-like is doing things for the gospel, for helping, for spreading the gospel, and that comes with putting ourselves last and putting others before us. Because Paul mentions again that Epaphroditus, he nearly died for the gospel, and meanwhile, in chapter 4, two sisters aren't getting along with each other. So what we talk about more in this letter is that striving with each other, striving, going the distance with each other of getting the gospel out there, helping each other's needs. You know, we see the importance play out in this book. Anything else that you notice that what we can learn from, how we can be more like these guys?
You're striving for each other. It's just kind of been already said, but it's important to know one another. It's like Paul, he knew Timothy, and he knew that Timothy at some point, Timothy was faithful, but Timothy was kind of timid. And in Corinthians, he was telling Paul, he had told Timothy, be courageous, be strong. You know, in 2 of Timothy, he was telling him also to be strong, and also through adversity, he said, trust Christ and be strong in Christ, because he knew that Timothy, even though he was faithful, he still was a little timid, and he needed to be encouraged to move forward and to take that courage forward. Mm. So the scripture tells us that we should know each other. And it says that we should know them that labor among you, you know. And that's kind of what the elders do when they come visit us, trying to get to know know the members and know their temperament, know their weaknesses. So you know how to preach to one another. So we know how to encourage one another. So we know how to talk to one another, know what each other needs.
And again, that answer to what else has been said tonight,
yeah.
I think, again, plays to being unity. Which is part of the message that Paul is trying to relay to them about uniting together, about helping each other out, supporting one another. And so I think that's something else we can learn from this, is getting to be more one-minded, one in spirit, striving with each other for the gospel. Charles?
One word we had to put up there, sometimes we're willing to sacrifice for one another. You got to figure, when Epaphroditus went to the prison, that wasn't a very nice place. It was dank, cold, dirty, and he exposed himself. Maybe that's what got him sick. But it was willing to go do what he had to do.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap it up tonight? But thank you, Charles.
When he said, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, it seems like he's just thinking that someone might be like doubting, you know, these people. I feel like, you know, he has to say all those things before they come, because somebody might feel differently.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, so as we wrap it up here, David has been focusing a lot on chapter 4 of the two sisters that aren't getting along. He's mentioned that almost every time he's to get up there, because, again, it's important that Paul is, you know, be more united, be more faithful, have more love to each other. Because, again, it's about possessing the Spirit of Christ, which is, of course, being humble, which is sacrificing ourselves for each other, which is being obedient. And I think that's something that we can all take away from, is just continuing to strive for the gospel together. So, that's basically all I had. I know if you have anyone wants to say anything else before the last bell rings. Thank you. I heard that one. All right, well, thank y'all. We'll see you. Well, me and David won't be here next week. I don't know who's teaching. Does anyone know who's teaching?
Oh,
there we go. John's on.